Welcome back to the Wisdom Journey with Stephen Davey. We're traveling through the Bible, all 66 books, over 3 years. Today, Stephen takes us back to Genesis 3. If you want to understand and fulfill your purpose in life, you need to understand the human condition. And you can't understand the human condition without understanding sin and its effects. The Bible clearly defines the consequences of sin, and we're looking at that today in a lesson Stephen is calling Consequences. Let's get started.
Now, in our last session, we watched as Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit in order to become like God in defiance to God, and now we find them hiding from God behind some trees in the garden. But God in His grace comes calling. This is the beauty of the grace of God. Like His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, He comes to seek and to save those who are lost. God knows where Adam and Eve are hiding, but He's going to give them the opportunity now to come out from hiding and confess their sin to Him. The problem is, we're going to find out, Adam and Eve aren't ready to confess anything. In fact, they're going to keep on sinning. And as a result, Adam and Eve will experience five tragic losses in this garden scene. First, there is the loss of spiritual intimacy. When God called out, "Where are you?" instead of coming clean, Adam says to God here, notice verse 10, "Well, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. I felt afraid, Lord." Would you notice how Adam makes this all about how he feels rather than about his disobeying what God had said? You know, we do the same thing, don't we? "Lord, I can't help how I feel," or "This is what makes me feel happy." By the way, this is the first time in the Bible the word "afraid" is heard in human history. "I heard the sound of you in the garden, I was afraid." Adam and Eve, instead of walking with God, are now afraid of God. They've lost spiritual intimacy. Secondly, let me point out there's this loss of honest transparency. Just listen to their conversation in verse 11. The Lord said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" Now, of course, God knows the answer. He saw them take that first bite. He sees the fruit stains on Adam's fingers, so to speak. He just wants Adam to admit it and confess it. In verse 12, the man says, "Well, the woman you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "Well, what is this that you've done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." You know, God's never been surrounded by so many innocent people. They're not going to confess to anything. Honest transparency has turned into deflection and excuse-making and finger-pointing. There's another lost blessing here. This is the loss of marital unity. Did you notice how Eve blames the serpent and Adam blames Eve? But not only Eve. Notice Adam says here in verse 12, "The woman whom you gave to be with me." In other words, "Lord, if you hadn't given her to me, I wouldn't be in this mess. So God, it's really your fault." And then beyond you, it's all her fault. Not only does this grieve the heart of God to hear Adam blame him, but can you imagine what it did to the heart of Eve? I don't think she will ever be able to forget completely hearing Adam complain that God had given her to be his wife. And to this day, marriage is now a union of two sinners who are good at blaming and excusing and pointing fingers. We're just like Adam and Eve. God informs them there are going to be some additional challenges in life, though. Verse 16 has God saying to Eve, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing, and in pain you shall bring forth children." Now, for every woman listening to me who's had a child, you can go ahead and say, thanks a lot, Eve. Had it not been for sin, childbirth would have been free of pain, just as raising a child would have been free of pain. The delivery process through the training process. Can you imagine? Pain-free, trouble-free. I mean, imagine raising a child without a sinful nature. No such thing as the terrible twos or temper tantrums. Had it not been for sin, you really would have parented without problems and even delivered babies without pain. Pain in childbirth is going to be a lasting reminder that sin brings pain. Sin hurts people. God's promise of this consequence has indeed come to pass, hasn't it? God says something else to Eve here in verse 16. He says to her, your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you. Now, before sin entered the picture, Adam was a loving leader, and Eve was a submissive wife, a complement to him. It was perfect harmony. They were equal in essence, but different in function and role. But because of sin and a fallen, selfish nature now, God informs them that marriage is going to become a tug of war. Sin is going to cause a woman to have her desire rule the day, even when it's contrary to her husband, God says here to Eve and to Adam. But God says to Eve that her husband is going to rule over her. In other words, the man is going to turn his loving headship into a proud dictatorship. So while the woman is going to learn to manipulate and coerce her will, the man is going to learn how to exploit and dominate. Their roles are now corrupted by sin. And to this day, instead of automatic cooperation, marriage can easily become competition. And marriage, like everything else in a fallen world, becomes hard work. It takes effort. It takes investment to regain what Adam and Eve lost. So where do we begin to climb out of the hole Adam and Eve started digging for us back there in the garden? Well, the answer is God's Word. The Apostle Paul writes that a godly man will use his position of leadership as the head of the home to lovingly care for his wife. And the woman will use all her skills to complement and follow her husband. It requires self-denying, self-sacrificing, self-giving love between a husband and a wife. Now, back here in Genesis 3, there is another loss mentioned here. It's the loss of nature's harmony. Now, God turns to Adam and announces here in verse 17, cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread. Did you notice? Just as Eve now is not going to deliver a child without suffering, Adam can't deliver food without suffering. Sin has affected the natural world. Every time Adam struggles to get a crop out of that ground, he's going to be reminded of his rebellion against God. Now, God isn't trying to be mean to Adam and Eve. He isn't trying to get them back. He's actually giving them reminders of their need to confess their sin and walk in humility and depend on Him through life. Well, there's one more lost blessing here I need to point out, and it's the loss of physical immortality. Go down to the end of verse 19, where the Lord says to Adam, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. God had warned Adam and Eve that if they ate of the forbidden fruit, they were going to die. That didn't mean they physically died immediately. It meant they would die eventually. The Bible promises us in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. My friend, if you don't think you're a sinner, just ponder the fact that you're going to die. In fact, during this wisdom journey today, more than 1,500 people died on planet Earth. And while I'm finishing this sentence, seven more people just died. The valley of the shadow of death looks like rush hour, 24 hours a day. Well, in the face of all of these losses, what possible hope do Adam and Eve have? And what hope do you have? What hope do I have today? Well, the Bible says, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The only hope anyone has is related to a Redeemer, and God is about to reveal to Adam and Eve the promise of that coming Redeemer. But that's for our next study. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Wisdom Journey with Stephen Davey. We'll continue traveling through the Bible next time. Stephen's written a booklet called Do Babies Really Go to Heaven When They Die? If you or someone in your life has ever lost a child, this booklet will help. It's available this month as a free ebook. You can download it from our website, wisdomonline.org. Download that today, and then join us next time here on the Wisdom Journey.